Welcome to the podcast Spotlight Yourself, your podcast to get visible in Helsinki, in Finland, or wherever you are in the world. I am Michaela, and by moving to Finland just on my own, I have found my self-confidence and courage to show myself and to speak up. That has definitely pushed my career to the next level, and now I want to help you to achieve the same, and I wish you a lot of fun with this episode. Today I'm very happy that I am not alone here in my podcast. I have a guest, which is Veronica. And Veronica is a colleague of mine at NIB, where I am working, and she is working there as an HR business partner. And she has actually recruited me for this position a little bit more than 1 year ago. And I remember that, she's originally from Argentina, and we met the first time for the job interview. I, from the beginning, liked her sunny spirit and very outgoing attitude. And I think we always had a very good connection to each other. And I eagerly wanted to have her as an interview guest for my podcast, because I think that she can share a lot of valuable experiences, how she settled down in Finland coming from South America, and how she created a successful career here for herself, and also that she has the point or the perspective as an HR person who is recruiting people for a Finnish company, both from the local pool but also from abroad. So I'm very happy to have you here, Veronica, and welcome to this podcast.
Thank you, Michaela. Super nice words. Thank you for the nice introduction.
You're welcome. Would you like to introduce yourself to the listeners with your own words?
Yes. So my name is Veronica Gordon. I'm an HR professional. I started human resources in Argentina 20 years ago, so a long time ago. And I have actually been working in HR also for 20 plus years. I started in UNICEF in Argentina, being the HR for our South Cone offices, with Argentina, Chile, and Uruguay. So I always had kind of this not only Argentinian perspective, but also broader. So I was always kind of in contact with people from different cultures and different backgrounds and different nationalities. And even though I was based in Argentina for almost half of my career, I never worked in Spanish. I was always working in companies where English was the working language. So that adds on top to the diverse aspect that probably we will be discussing today. And then I was working in some technology companies, and I ended up working in Nokia in Argentina, huge Finnish company at the time in 2007 when I joined them. And actually in 2010, I got this offer if I would like to move to Finland, to headquarters, to take a role here. And I said, yes, I'm coming. And here I am, more than 11 years after, still here. And I'm really enjoying my life in Finland. And of course, the Nokia story is known by everybody. So after the merger with, or not the merger, but the buying of Microsoft, the mobile devices business got kind of dissolved, if that could be a word. And and then, of course, I was at the time on maternity leave. So after my maternity leave ended, then I had to start looking for a job. So, and that's when I faced many, many hiccups in some point, but also many opportunities. Mm. And then I found a job, and then I found another one, and that's how I ended up in NIB, working for the Nordic Investment Bank as an HR business partner in August 2019. So I have been here for 2.5 years, roughly.
Yeah. But if we go back to the time at Nokia, I mean, when you came to Finland 11 years ago, I mean, you still say, like, still here, still enjoying it, still happy. But how was it then, coming from Argentina, entering Finland? Were there some cultural shocks or anything that you would have not expected at all?
So the first shock was that I arrived to Finland 22nd of February 2011, and actually it's summer in Argentina at that time, so I left with roughly 30 degrees at the time. And then I arrived to Finland, and it was like between minus 15 and minus 20, full of snow. Yeah. Of course, I didn't have the proper jacket or the proper clothes, so that was the first shock, like the temperature. Like, it was like, oh god, now this is proper winter, because of course we don't have snow in Buenos Aires, so that was also something. But mm-hmm. I had come, actually, I had lived in Finland in 2008, and Nokia had offered me to be in this short-term international transfer. Mm-hmm. So I was here for 3 months between March and June. So I knew sort of where I was coming, and I had already experienced the panic of going to a supermarket and not understanding anything of what you're getting. and you know, I'm trying to figure out, is this salt or is this sugar, or, you know, it's very difficult to in that aspect. But then I had a very good colleague that helped me go to a supermarket and we shopped together. So after that, it was easier. Yeah. But also, of course, in Latin America, we are very outgoing and we are very... we show our feelings a lot. We talk with our hands, and, you know, we are very talkative. And here in Finland, it's probably quite the opposite. Like, there's not much chit-chatting. It's very, like, when you open your mouth to speak, it's to say something you mean. So that also, for me, was sometimes a bit of a shock at the beginning. And, of course, I felt that people were much more distant. Like, you know, we are much more like, and here it's like a bit of space, like until you get there, some things need to happen to be closer to Finnish people. And that was one thing. And the other thing that for me was really interesting was that, you know, Stockmann is like this shopping center or department store here in Helsinki. And in Argentina, men would hold the door for us. Uh-huh. Like, you know, not, and here in Finland, like, the door kept coming to my face because nobody was holding the door for me. So I was also like, okay, I need to remember that I need to hold the door for me. Yeah. And of course, if somebody was holding the door, then you could tell that probably was a foreigner and not a local. Whoa. But those little, you know, like those are the equality and that thing. I don't think it's a shock, but it's a good thing at the end of the day. But of course, coming from a totally different culture, it took me time to understand, like, you know, the little things and how to dance the Finnish culture in a way, and how to go through it.
But how was it then at Nokia? Like, have you worked together? Was there only or mainly Finnish people, or was it very international?
No, Nokia has been probably the most diverse company I have worked for. I think, of course, there's a lot of Finnish people here in headquarters, but there were extremely big amounts of foreigners. So language was that you heard on the corridors was always English. And at least in HR, we had quite many. And I was sitting in an area where in front of me, I had a Polish lady, next to me, a Finnish lady, but behind me, I had a British man. So it was all very, very diverse. It was not Finnish only in that sense.
Yeah. So you've had, I can imagine, quite welcomed with your like diverse background, or it was not just that, like, as a foreigner, as there were...
I couldn't feel the difference.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
No, I felt as a part of a team. I think that one of the things that was also very remarkable at the time is, like, we all felt that we were all in the same team. Mm. There was no difference where you came from or what nationality or what was your background. We were all on this together. And another good example is that regardless of the hierarchy or whoever was in the room, like, everybody felt equal. Like, you know, the vice president of HR was sitting in an open space, like all of us. So it was not that he had his office and, you know, he was really open about it. You could go for lunch and the CEO would say, can I join you, and would sit next to you. So it, in that sense, that is, for me, that also adds to the diversity aspect. Yeah. So it's not only gender or nationality, it's also like we're all equal.
And then when you had to leave, or when you wanted to leave Nokia and then we were looking for a job here in Finland, and maybe you're more confronted with, let's say, typical Finnish companies, how was that?
I think that at the beginning, it was really... finding a job is a job itself. So that's the first thing, right? You cannot underestimate how much time and effort you have to put to that. So if you take it lightly, most likely the outcome will not be what you're looking for. You really need to invest your time, work on your CV, work on your network. Actually, networking is, for me, one of the key things to highlight, that you need to keep your network alive and, you know, nurture it, because that helps, and you don't know when it will help. But of course, you get all this excitement about all these jobs and you start applying, and then it's like a couple of weeks after, no, thank you for applying, but we have found somebody else. Or, like, you know, there's always these buts or these hiccups that actually kind of of course, they turn you down because you have all this energy and all these expectations. But I think the key is that don't give up. That, you know, you have to keep looking and keep applying. And, you know, I always hear this, like, you know, when you're selling your house, you just need one good offer. And I think it also applies for a job. There might be many jobs, but there's one that will probably fit your profile better. So it's just keep looking and keep applying. Don't lose hope. And also, in my case, I found a job where Finnish was not needed as the working language. So that for me helped me a lot because, of course, regardless that I have been living here, I'm not fluent in Finnish. And even if I would speak Finnish, I don't speak working HR Finnish. So in a sense, it helped to work in a place that English was the working language or that I could work in English. So that was one thing. But of course, yeah, many frustrations and many hiccups. And of course, you have all the expectations. But I think that, you know, you need to repeat to yourself your own kind of mantra that I will make it. It will take time, but I will make it. So I think that mental, you need to really be prepared to get lots of no's, but the yes will eventually come.
Would you say that this endurance somehow was the biggest challenge, or then having this endurance and this was, like, let's say the game changer for that? Or was there a certain step that you remember where you said, okay, now that you fixed it, like you made a certain connection to your network or you reached out to a certain person that really made the difference for you?
I think it's a mix of both, because of course I had let my network know that I was looking for a job. Mm-hmm. So, and actually I found my job via my network.
Yeah. How big was your network at that time? Do you remember, or can you somehow describe that, how that looked like?
Honestly, if I have to tell you how big I have no clue how big my network is.
Was it spread in Finland, like over
different cities? No, it was spread in Finland.
Yeah.
No, so basically Helsinki, Espoo, like, but the thing is that when we were working in Nokia, we were like one HR team. Then when the company kind of disappeared, then all this group of people started working in many places. So the one company became 50, 60, 100, I don't know how many even. Yeah, the network grew exponentially from there. So actually that helped a lot. So the network, and then also not losing faith that it will come when it needs to come. And it came when it had to come. So that was basically it. But then, of course, after a couple of years, I decided to also look for something else. And then again, started all the applying to jobs and, will I make it to this one or not? And at the time, there were some ads that were putting that you need to be fluent in Finnish and English. Some were not writing it at all. So it was a bit difficult also. I think nowadays there's much more like Finnish required or not required, kind of more openly written there. But then I managed to find NIB, whose working language is English, or where the working language is English, so it's much easier. And it was very diverse as well. And you know, I think that's the thing that. And I didn't find the job via my network. It was all my effort on my side this last time. So yeah, no network calling or anything. Yeah.
Would you say in general that, like, the personality type that you are, like very sunny spirit and very outgoing, that has helped you, or that somehow was that made you stand out a little bit from, let's say, all the other, you know, Finnish, Nordic?
I don't know. You would need to ask the hiring manager for that. but I think that I'm not bragging about my experience or anything in this aspect, but I have been in different types of companies in different continents. And of course, I think that having a different background and coming from a different place also brings much more value than you can ever put in numbers or in paper or whatever. So your experience also makes a lot of the added value. And then, of course, when it comes to diversity, I'm coming from a totally different culture. I have lots of other industry experiences as well. So I think it all that adds to the diverse aspect of working in a different place and what can you bring to a table that makes you stand out a bit. So I think that experience in different industries, experience in different cultures, experience the different types of work as well, like, because it was not always HR manager, you have to get there. So how you do your, how you build your steps in your career also help a lot to get you where you are.
Yeah. And I mean, now in your role at NIV, like working as an HR business partner and also recruiting people, is that where you particularly pay attention to? If you, let's say, if you have an open vacancy and you get a high number of applications, is that where you would really pay attention? Like, how diverse are the people, or do they have different backgrounds or experiences?
I think that the key thing is that we need to find the right person for the right job at the right time. So of course it all adds, but it's not necessarily the only factor in a way. So what I'm trying to say is that it doesn't matter where the person is, as long as the person has what we're looking for, then we will hire the person and bring them to Finland. So it's not about where you're geographically located or nothing like that. It's more about what can you bring to the table? Do you have what we need? And can we help you develop still further in that one, in that area or in that professionally? I don't think that there's a formula of things I'm looking for. Of course, for me, I like to see like a story when I'm reading a CV, that, you know, okay, you started somewhere and you're here today, and there is kind of a thread in a way that I can link. Try to think like, okay, you started here, now you're here. Makes sense. What can we do next for you to help you get to the next level? Because I think that from an HR perspective, at least my goal is to always try to get the best out of, to help the people become their best versions. So the only way to do that is to help you in your next career step, your next big thing. So if we don't invest time and efforts in that, it's going to be very difficult to help you develop in that aspect. So I that for me is actually what we, or at least I, try to do in HR. Try to help the team, the employee, the manager, the organization, everything. Because we all will, if we have somebody with the required talent or what we're looking for, and if on top of that diverse background, which helps a lot, it will only benefit everybody in the organization. It's not only the person itself or the manager, or it's the whole organization. We need to change the mindset that this is much bigger than we think.
But I would somehow say, I mean, it's of course like maybe it's one thing to have that special background or to have also, you know, special experiences or maybe also certain things that you have done in the past where I would say, okay, that somehow that makes your CV look a bit special, but maybe you're not always brave to share it. Do you see differences, maybe some, or especially between men and women, how brave they are to share their special experiences? Now, I mean, the application that you receive from a person is the first step, but I think if you're not brave, if you don't feel encouraged and you're not self-confident to show there who you really are, I mean, how should you make it then to get invited? Like, how should the company become curious, wanting to get to know you, if you're not confident to really show what you have? Because you might think, okay, it's maybe too special, or I don't want to share it right away.
For me, the one thing that always kind of ignites my interest is that one thing that I don't like is that if the, because you always have the your first selling point is your cover letter. So in the cover letter is actually your first chance to try to make you to the list in a way, in between, you know, like, so if the cover letter is like a summary of the CV, for me, there's, okay, I read that, I get the same feeling twice. So for me, in the cover letter, when there's an intention of the purpose, why am I applying to this job? How the values of the company are aligned to my own values? What value would I bring to the table? Something that, you know, will trigger me to say, I want to meet this person. I'm intrigued. I want to see what else he or she has to offer. So that for me is something that that is a kind of, when it comes to recruitment, I kind of like to think of it. I'm not saying I'm perfect as a recruiter because I'm not, but that is something that I think that maybe the thing would be not to repeat yourself in the cover letter if it's already in the CV, because we can always go to a CV. And the same comes to the interview. In the interview, if you read my CV, like, no, in your interview, now it's the time to sell yourself, to do your 2-minute pitch of why we should choose you.
Yeah.
Now that's your opportunity. And as you say, in many interviews, some people are more talkative than others, and we try to dig in with certain questions to get the person talking. Some talk more than others, and that's human nature. And of course, for some, probably, you know, sometimes it's very challenging also to interview, to be honest. The main thing is to try to step up and show, like, okay, this is why I want to work for this place. Yeah. This is what I can bring to the table. This is how my values are aligned to your values. And this is how I would think that I want to change the world, or whatever it is that it's out there. But yeah, those are the things for me that are a bit kind of key. Not when it's repeating itself constantly, or when you're in the interview and it's like, some people say, as you have read in my CV, or as you can read from my CV, but we are asking you because we want to hear your version of what is written in the CV.
Yeah. Would it be right to summarize to say, well, what makes you happy as a recruiter is like self-confident people and people who are willing to share their passion. And maybe, I mean, even if the people would say something that you won't like, or also the future manager won't like it, but I think this is then maybe the courage that you need to have to get to this point, right?
Yeah, I think it is all about selling yourself and you know, adapting your speech to your audience as well. Yeah. And of course, it takes courage also to talk about yourself and your achievements.
Because I mean, when I'm like, you know, observing myself, and also, I mean, when I went to different job interviews, it's of course like, you know, okay, what values you have that you can bring there, you can bring to the company. But then maybe also, I mean, some things in your CV where you would think like, okay, should I really mention that? Or you have a special opinion about a certain topic. Should I really say that? Would a potential manager like that or not? Is it maybe better to stay silent about this or that? I think that's also, maybe it's more a women's problem, thinking, okay, what could the other people think about me? But I think that's maybe also in a lot of people's heads, that kind of issue.
Yeah. I think that we also overthink a lot. What should we
Very
do?
True,
what
yes.
should we say? How yeah. so? How should I stand? What yeah. clothes should I wear? Mm. And for me, the key is that the person I'm interviewing is being him or herself 100%. That the person is comfortable talking about how they are, what they bring to the table, and that there's, and you know, and sometimes you can actually see who has prepared or not, or who is kind of going always to the same kind of answers rather than letting us get to know the person a bit better.
Yeah.
So my take on this is that be yourself. Like, of course, prepare for the interview, meaning that if you're applying to a company that you have no clue what the company does, read about it. Go to a website, ask around if anybody knows something about it. Do you know anybody that I could talk? Like, get familiar with the place you're applying to, because it is also that for me adds a lot of value. For me, it is like, okay, the person is really interested in us because they know who we are. And not that it's like, like very vague, but actually that's, you know, you have read what we do. You're interested in our mission, in our vision, in our values. So for me, that's also something to do the homework and to be prepared that, you know, any question can come during the interview. You cannot prepare enough for an interview. That's the truth also.
Yeah, well, I think it's very helpful advice. I think this is always the point that you don't have. I think, you know, there are people in the job interviews who make it to the job, but I guess in very rare cases, you then directly get the feedback from the HR person saying, hey, what I actually liked about your interview was this or that. I mean, you don't get that feedback. It's either you make it to the job or you don't. You get rejected And then you don't really, or there is not that much information sharing of people who make it successfully to a certain position or to a job that others could have an example. Okay, what was it? What these people do different? So I think what you summarized here is really, really valuable.
Thank you. Yes. I'm now thinking if I have any other. Yeah, because it usually happens to me that when I call for the second round of interviews, for example, when, you know, from a, I don't know, 10 candidates, we go down to 5 or less. And then the question is like, what should I prepare for the interview? How should I prepare? Do I need to do anything? And I always say the same, like, be yourself. We just want to get to know you better and your professional experience. So it's not that. And of course, if there's a case or there's another thing, that's a different story. Because that is more about your ability to work with the data that is given to you or prepare a case or something else. But then when it comes to the interview, there's nothing more powerful than being yourself. That's my...
That's nice. That's cool. I like it.
Good. Okay. We can call it nothing more powerful than being yourself.
Exactly. That's a cool slogan, definitely. Yeah. But Amy, then one last question that I have, because this is something, maybe it's the same for you, but I was asked that already a couple of times when I worked for other Finnish companies, or especially when I work with my together with my Finnish colleagues, because I mean, as we know, Finland is a small nation, and my impression is always that Finns, they are quite proud on their nation, but somehow they always wonder, like, what do other people actually think of us? And the question that I heard already a couple of times, also at work, also at NIB, was that, what do you value most about your Finnish colleagues? And I would like to pass that question over to you. So what do you value most about the Finnish colleagues that you have worked together with?
Oh, that's a very good question. What do I value? I value the most that they are very concise, in the sense that we're here for a meeting and we're going to have a meeting to discuss this topic. You know, it's 30 minutes and we're going to discuss the topic. It's not that we're going to have 15 minutes of intros and coffee and laughs and what did you do yesterday, and then we go, oh, like, they are punctual and they do what needs to be done. So actually, that for me is something really nice, or something I enjoy, actually, because I come from a culture which is completely different, where we would take, like, you know, everybody would arrive at different times and then we would introduce ourselves different. Like, it would take time until we get to the matter. It doesn't mean that we don't get there, but here it's much more like much more structured in a way, which and structured in the good sense, not structured in the bad sense. That one I like. I have to say that probably my best Finnish friends have come from work. So, you know, once you become friends with someone, they are like really, really loyal and stuck in the very good sense of it with you. And that is something I appreciate very much. And I have lots of friends from my Nokia times that we are still in contact, and it's a very, very strong relationship as well. I also like that they know how to have fun. Like, it's not that everything is like like, you know, I have, like, at least now in NIV, we have had so much fun in HR, like, or trying to find, you know, the moments to, like, okay, now we have fun for half an hour. And that is actually quite valuable, especially in HR, because not every day is sunshine and rainbows. And we have different topics coming up, and, you know, during this pandemic, it was also very hard for HR on how to deal with anything, but we still managed, you know, to keep united as a team, have our fun time, and, you know, okay, we have 30 minutes, we focus on nothing but having fun, and then we go back to business. I think that also adds a lot of value to my daily, to know that, you know, there's always a smile back. If I smile, somebody's smiling back. So that is also nice. Yeah. I think those things are probably the highlights of my Finnish colleagues. Yeah.
Oh, and hopefully they are happy to hear that.
No, I hope so. I have said it to them many times. So yeah.
Yes, very cool.
I think that's also something valuable, to just as a reflection, that it's always good to say when something feels good, to say it out loud rather than keeping it to yourself. I know giving this kind of recognition to some, you know, hey, thank you for making me laugh, or that was really nice of you to say to me certain things. So I think that that's also something that is nice to always remember, regardless.
And I thank you very much for this interview. I mean, it was very cool. I had a lot of fun. Thank you for answering all
thank
these
you.
Questions. So passing that feedback directly back, I absolutely enjoyed it. Thanks a lot.
Thank you for your time and for having me.
Thank you for listening. I hope this episode was inspiring and empowering for you to get more visible and to speak up for your interests in your everyday life and especially at work. And if you feel that you need a little push for your success because you have a certain issue that hinders you to get fully successful in your career, might it be how to write a good job application, how to handle a difficult discussion at work, how to hold a successful presentation, or how to find your clear vision for your next step in your career? Then you can get my own tips and tools in a single coaching session over 1.5 hours. And you can find all the information to that on my website under michaela-kettner.coach/single-sessions. And if you want to really spotlight yourself doing your job search or to boost your career, if you want to improve your self-confidence and make other people listen to you, then I would like to invite you to work together with me over 6 weeks in a one-on-one coaching where you learn how can you identify your strengths and your targets for your career, how you can present yourself in the best possible way, and how you can become a true enrichment for every Finnish company. And you can find my coaching and mentoring program, Spotlight Yourself, as well on my website, or you can contact me for any more information on Instagram under michaela.kettner.fi or on LinkedIn. And no worries if you find it challenging to spell my German name, you will find all my contact details in the show notes. And I would be really happy to connect with you. Also to hear some feedback from you to this podcast and to this episode. And I wish you a nice rest of the day. Get visible and stay tuned. Bye bye.